the past couple of weeks that we're trying to memorize Psalm 1. It's the first psalm, obviously. It's only 6 verses. You can do it in a week. Memorize one verse a day for 6 days, and on the 7th day, just kind of review them all, and you'll have it more or less down if you really do one a day. And then the following week, review the whole thing, and you'll have this down cold. It's relatively short. It's only 6 verses. And there's a reason it's Psalm 1. It kind of sets the stage for how to live your life. It's number one priority, okay? So let me read this to you. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." So that's verse 1. I'll pause there. Right off the bat, you want to be blessed by God, right? Everybody does. Blessings from God are blessings. Don't be ashamed that God has blessed you. Glorify his name and thank him, right? How blessed is the man? What do you do for blessings? Typically, you usually think of, well, if I want to be blessed, I have to go do something right. I have to do something well. I have to honor God and work really hard and accomplish something, and then I'll be blessed for that accomplishment. And that's true. We'll get to it in a minute. But what this leads off with is 3 things you shouldn't do. You're really blessed if you just don't do these things, but instead delight in God's word. They go together. But don't do these things is the first thing to be aware of. We live in a sinful world. It would be silly to look around this sinful world and say, oh, just ignore all that. Go do X, Y, and Z, and you'll be blessed. Everything will be fine. That would be silly. We live in a sinful world. So you're going to have to separate from that sinfulness if you want to ever take a step forward in the right direction. How blessed is the man who does not walk, who doesn't do this. Walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. All right? There's a few things to get from this. Walk in the counsel of the wicked. Walk in the Bible typically means just live your life. Lead your life. Walk with God. Live for the Lord. Walk with him. Don't walk with the counsel of the wicked. The counsel of the wicked is any kind of sinful stuff. We've had our children memorize the Ten Commandments. You should too. But read your whole Bible. The Ten Commandments are not it. But there are a lot of don't do this. Thou shalt not. Right? A lot of this. Well, it's written for a reason. It's God's word. And there's great promises and there's great blessings with it. How blessed is the man who doesn't do this stuff? The counsel of the wicked would say, go ahead and do it. Thou shalt not steal. Counsel of the wicked would say, hey, find a way to steal. Find a way to get to the top. Lie about it a little bit. Twist the truth. Play around in the gray areas until you get what you want. That's how you're blessed. That's how this world would operate. That's how this world does operate. It's wicked, but it's how this world operates. It's a wicked, sinful world. That's why God has made us bright lights to be in it. So don't walk in that counsel. Don't live in that, okay? Now, if you notice it, walk in a counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. If you're walking with somebody, sooner or later you stop walking, you stand around talking, and sooner or later you sit down scoffing. That's the pattern of this. If I'm going down the wrong trail, sooner or later I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sitting down getting nothing done. Stand, walk, sit. It's a pattern. It's a downhill pattern. At least when I'm walking, I'm going somewhere. Well, now I'm not going anywhere. Now I'm just sitting around and cultivating idleness and stuff, right? Don't do that. How blessed is the man who doesn't do that? Now, it doesn't say to go move into a cave and hide from this wicked world and never go out. It doesn't say that. It says, don't walk by their standards. Don't live your life in their counsel. Don't live in the way, in the path, in the counsel of this kind of person. You live in this world. You're going to encounter these people all the time. Your job is to be a witness to them and not hide from them like they're somehow more powerful than God. No, God's kingdom is greater. God's kingdom lives in you. If you've given your life to Christ, Christ lives in you. He resurrected from the dead. You have nothing to fear. Now go be a witness to them. But don't go join them. You understand the difference? Verse 2, instead, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. So instead of following the counsel, following the track, following the path, the lifestyle of the wicked, instead of that, you're delighting in God's law. You're delighting in God's word. You're studying it day and night. Okay? Meditate on it day and night. This is why I tell you to memorize it. How can you meditate on God's word day and night unless it's stored in you, right? You read it by all means. Open your Bible and read it. But study it. Meditate on it. Dwell upon it until it is part of you so that you can do it day and night. I can't always pop my Bible open, right? I'm busy, I'm driving, I'm doing things, right? But if it's on my mind, if it's in my heart, if it's part of me, well, then I can meditate on it day and night. And God will do that in your life. If you do the work of studying it, committing it to memory, filling your mind, filling your life with it, if you do that effort, God will bring it to mind all the time. He will do the work. If you have plowed the field and planted the seed, he will make it grow. But our job is to be that soil, right? Our job is to be the kind of soil that God's word will sprout up in. Okay, verse 3, he will be like a tree planted, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. All right? I said your job is to be the soil. Well, here he says you're going to be a tree firmly planted, firmly rooted, deeply rooted in the right place. Now, he doesn't say just you'll be a tree growing there. He says you'll be a tree firmly planted there. That means you have been picked up and moved. You were maybe walking in the counsel of the wicked. You might have been standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of scoffers. You might have been doing that, and then you stopped and you said, no, I want to follow the Lord. I want to meditate on his law. You're being transplanted. You're being converted. You're being made a new creation now. I used to be growing over here, getting into mischief, hanging out with people who get into mischief and just being part of it, walking according to their counsel and their ways. And no, I got out of that, and I have been firmly transplanted, planted, and rooted here in the right place. That's the visual of what's happening here. You're being uprooted from there. You're uprooting yourself from there. You're giving your life to the Lord. You're repenting. You're turning back. God, I'm living in a sinful world, and I fell into the sinful traps. The temptations of the world, the whatevers, I got into it. Shouldn't have, but I found myself there. I don't want any part of this, Lord. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to set my mind. I want to meditate, study, get deeply committed into your word. I want to live for your kingdom. He'll uproot you. He'll firmly plant you in the right place if you will turn to him like that, right? It yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Right? I mean, he's talking about a tree, a leaf withering and bearing fruit and everything, meaning it's productive, it's healthy. You're not healthy if you're not able to multiply. If you're a fruit tree that doesn't produce fruit, you're not a healthy fruit tree. There's something wrong in that. If you're a God-fearing person, if you're a believer, and your faith is not multiplying and spreading, then there's something in the way, right? There's something blocking it. And he says, if you're deeply rooted, firmly rooted, planted where you're supposed to be, the fruit will just kind of come out. The fruit of the Spirit, right? It's really hard. Oh, love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, I can't do it all. That's hard. I don't always have love. I don't always have peace and patience and all this. I don't always have gentleness and self-control. Okay, it's hard. You know, it's really easy if you're rooted where you're supposed to be rooted. If I'm walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in a path of sinners, sitting in the sea of scoffers, trying to crank out spiritual fruit, it's going to be really hard. And my spiritual fruit is going to be thorns and thistles because I'm hanging out with thorns and thistles. I'm being pollinated by thorns and thistles, right? I'm rooted in their soil. No, get uprooted, get meditating, studying day and night in God's word, and watch the fruit just kind of start coming out. That's the promise here. The fruit's going to come out. You're not going to wither away in hopelessness, in despair, in worry, and all this. It's not going to happen because you got deep roots growing in the right place and you're continuously being nourished by it. This world doesn't do that. This world will dry you up, wither you up, and produce thorns and thistles out of you, and then you die, and that's that. That's what this world does, right? You want to prosper? Whatever he does, he prospers. This world doesn't even like prosperity. Okay, I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I'm not going to say if you give your life to Christ, everything always goes great and you'll always be healthy, wealthy, and wise or something. That's not in the Bible. The opposite is in there. Okay, if you give your life to Christ, your life belongs to Christ. And he says, take up your cross and follow me. And he's carrying a cross up a hill to die. And he says, follow him. Okay, but it is good to prosper. It is good and righteous to prosper in righteousness. Right? It's good. Our world lives by violating, thou shalt not covet. Our world lives by violating that. You should covet. If somebody's wealthy, you should take it. If somebody is wealthy, you should be jealous. It's not fair. You got the bottom rung, and it's not fair. They must have taken it from you. And our world just kind of operates that way. It's wickedness. It's wrong. Don't play that game. the political systems, the worldly systems. If somebody's really good at something, something wells up inside you and you want to knock them down a peg, knock them down and level it off. That's a temptation. It's widespread. It's all over the place. Don't do it. Thou shalt not covet. Get meditating, studying, give your life to Christ. Let the power of the Holy Spirit transform you day and night through his word, and be transformed and stop playing that game, and then go, whatever he does, he prospers. End of verse 3. Go and do something and prosper at it and be really, really good at it and be really productive at it and let God's blessings flow from your deep roots, rooted in the right place, automatically bringing up all the prosperity that comes from it, and then get really good at it, go and do it, and be a blessing for this world. And don't let all the envy, all the coveting, all the other stuff, all the naysayers, don't let it bother you. You're meditating on God's law. You're not associating. You're not walking in the counsel of the wicked. You're not doing that. You're not playing that game. You're prospering where God has transplanted you and given you deep roots. You're prospering there. You're productive there. You're living your life there for the glory of God, and you're good at it. Whatever he does, he prospers. Look around. I don't know how many people are here today. We 100 or something, right? If 100 of us are here, serving the Lord, growing in the Lord, planted firmly in streams that God has attached to us, and we're there and we're growing in it. 100 people, or how many people total in God's kingdom? Like 1 billion or something around this world. If God's people will just prosper at what God has made us to do. You each have different giftings. You have different skills, different desires. When you look around, when you wake up in the morning, each of you are thinking different thoughts. We're all unique. We're all the image of God. Amazing. Amazing that all of us can be the image of God and all be totally different in certain ways. What if every one of God's people simply said, hey, we're going to stop following the counsel of the wicked. We're growing up and raised in a forest of wickedness, and we're going to be the tree that gets pulled out and planted in a cultivated, righteous soil. We're among thorns and thistles, and we're going to bear fruit. We're in a dark and perverse, crooked generation, and we're going to be lights. And we're going to be really good at it. We're going to prosper at it. I'm good at this, you're good at that, and we're going to do it for the glory of God and be really good at it. Do you think the world around us would take note? They would. Some would hate for it. Some would be envious and covet and just only see bitterness against you. That's going to happen. In this world, you have many tribulations, many troubles. They crucified Jesus. He was really good at teaching God's word. He was really good at healing and miracles, and they killed him. That's going to happen. But also, a lot of people came to him, were converted, were transformed, because his bright light shined and the world saw it, right? Imagine if each of us, if we are children of God and Christ lives in us, you've given your life to Christ, and he who is resurrected from the dead lives in you by faith. Imagine Christ, a bright light, shining 1 billion points of that bright light all over this world, or 100 around Adams County, just burning bright and prospering at what God says to prosper at, and being good at it. And being the best employee, the best mother, the best father, grandmother, wife, husband, the best one at work, at just prospering at what you do. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it for the glory of God. Do it with all your might and honor him for it. Imagine, would the world notice that? They certainly would notice it. Like I said, some would hate you for it, but many would say, whatever that Jesus stuff is about, I need that. These guys have hope when the world is full of despair. They have joy when everybody's angry. And they're living a purpose, and they're getting good at it. And look, if you're associating, if you're walking according to the counsel of the counsel of the wicked will either tell you to lie, cheat, steal, mess around in ethical problems and dilemmas and get good in those sorts of things in a wicked worldly sense, get good at that. The wicked will tell you that, or the wicked will tell you, hey, it's bad to prosper. You know, people are jealous, and the world will just get this totally wrong. The scoffers will make fun of you. The scoffers will say, ah, your idea, what a bad idea. You're going to fail. They're going to root for you to fail. When you do prosper and do well at it, they're going to nitpick. They're going to argue. They're going to hope you fail, stuff like that. Okay, that's fine. I'm not walking in that council. I'm not standing with that organization, with that stuff. I'm not sitting down listening to their scoffs. I'm meditating on God's word. And I'm firmly rooted in God's word, and I'm growing in God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is growing out from me. And that's how you'll strengthen yourself against that, okay? Study his word, meditate on it, and prosper at it. And you can prosper at anything. We talked about this on our vacation, on our every evening we would have some sort of devotional with all the kids, and we talked about this, and my boy Jeremiah likes fishing, and he had caught a whole bunch of fish. Trout up in Wyoming, he's good at it. He's prospering at it. He's 10. And he's, I went fishing. I didn't catch anything. I don't know. Whatever. He's prospering at it. But the family was all like cheering for him, and he shared. We ate trout that evening for supper. It was delicious. It was cool. Imagine if he's hanging out with people. You know how when you go fishing, you throw the line out maybe 50 times and you catch one fish. 49 times you fail. You reel back in, nothing there. Try again. Sitting with the scoffers, you're no good at fishing. You didn't even catch anything. Can you believe it? You threw it out, reeled it back in, didn't catch anything. I mean, if you scoff at someone and you listen to that scoffing, you're just going to stop fishing, right? But instead, he prospered. He persevered. Perseverance is a biblical trait, right? It's a characteristic. He kept trying. The family was cheering for him. Every time he caught one, we'd take pictures of him and stuff, and oh, that's great. And then he did the biblical prospering thing, which was share his trout. He didn't eat them all for himself, right? I mean, it's a simple little thing, okay? It's not Christian to go fishing. It's not like a special spiritual discipline to be good at fishing. It's just life, okay? Be good at things in the name of Jesus. Prosper at them. Use your prosperity to be a blessing to others. Not a boastful thing and not a prideful thing and not a scoffing thing when someone else is trying to prosper at something totally different that you're no good at. Be joyful. Celebrate. Hey, wow, I would never be able to do that, rather than be jealous or something, right? Whatever he does, he prospers. Step one, though, step out from the wickedness. Step out from it. Don't listen to it. Don't play their games. Don't walk according to the way they walk. Step out from it. Step one. Step two, and really they're not one at a time. They're both at the same time. Step out from this and get into that. Stay in God's word. Meditate on it day and night and prosper in it. Follow the biblical principles for your job, for parenting, for your household, for your housekeeping, for all of it. Follow these biblical principles and watch what God does. Watch the prosperity happen. And when I say prosperity, I mean God's righteousness flowing from you. The fruits of the Spirit coming out of you. I'm not saying you're automatically going to become a billionaire or something. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that if you, by faith, are faithful to God's word, faithful to living by his kingdom standards, that he will bless you and he will make you good at what you do. And get good at it and do it with excellence. Praise the Lord. I've lost my slide here, guys, but I don't think I need it. You can skip up to the next one. I think is 2 Timothy chapter 2, paragraph here. This is I quoted this. I referenced it for our WANA program for our children, but it tells the same message in a New Testament kind of practical way. He says this, 2 Timothy 2:15 through 19. Be diligent and present yourselves approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. All right? So this is an inverse. Psalm 1 started out with don't follow the counsel of the wicked. This one starts with be diligent, basically to meditate on God's law, on God's word, accurately handling the word of truth. Know God's word, study it, be accurate with it, be good at it, handle it well. If we're having a sword drill, same idea. You don't want somebody waving a sword just recklessly. You want it to be handled well. It's God's word. Okay? Verse 16, it ties into Psalm 1, verse 1. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, the seat of scoffers, right? Avoid that, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are these two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, that Paul, who was writing to Timothy, was warning him about. Don't walk according to their counsel. take note of who they are and what they're saying. Find scripture, test it with scripture. If it's wrong, don't listen to it. Turn away from it. Be aware of them. Okay, it's empty chatter. It's scoffing. It's the counsel of the wicked. It's empty chatter. It goes nowhere that you want to be. All right, and it will spread like gangrene. If you're part of it, it'll mix in with you. Among them are these guys, Hymenaeus, Philetus. Verse 18, men who have gone astray from the truth. They didn't meditate on it day and night. They didn't study it day and night. They went astray. They started walking down the counsel of the wicked, the path of the sinners. They started going that direction. Jesus says there's a wide road that leads to destruction, and many travel it. And Psalm 1 and 2 Timothy all over the Bible says, don't travel it. Don't be there. There's a narrow road that leads to life. Few find it. But boy, stay on it. Don't backtrack. All right? They have gone astray. They have wandered off the narrow way, and they've gone into the lies, claiming that the resurrection has already taken place. That was a particular heresy, falsehood that was being taught, that Jesus had somehow already come back. It was a false teaching. They are jeopardizing the faith of some. Some who are listening to them, some who are walking according to the counsel of the wicked, their faith is now jeopardized. They're listening to it. They're giving it an ear. They're asking, why? What could this mean? Maybe it's true. And they're being led astray. All right? You have to know what's true. You have to be studying God's law. You have to know it. You have to be meditating on it day and night, or else you will be led astray sooner or later. Somebody will mix in just enough truth with a little bit of falsehood, and you'll be off track. You've got to know it yourself. All right, verse 19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. The firm foundation, firmly rooted, firmly planted, a tree by streams of water, firmly planted, the firm foundation, right? God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to keep away from wickedness. If you want to walk with God, blessed are those who do not walk according to the counsel of the wicked, right? Same idea, same principle. If God's people, if we get this stuff right, if we live this way, it doesn't say never talk to these people and shun them or something. They're non-believers. Witness to them. Lead them to Christ. But you cannot do that until you have the truth in you and you're deeply rooted in it. And then you can love them with the love of Christ. You can love your enemy with the love of Christ. You can love your neighbor with the love of Christ, your family member, the people in your life that are breaking off and falling into all sorts of problems, so common around here, so common in our day. You can love them in the name of Jesus. And I have another verse that kind of came to me during worship that I didn't put up on the slide here, but it is in 1 Corinthians 15. You can flip over there. I am going to touch on it for a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 and 34. It says the same thing, just in a slightly different way. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. All right? Don't follow the counsel of the wicked. It's going to corrupt you. You have good morals, you're walking with God, don't follow the counsel of the wicked. It will corrupt you. Okay? Don't be deceived. Why does it say don't be deceived? Because you will be very easily deceived. Because it's very easy to mix in a little bit of lies with a little bit of truth and deceive somebody. It's very easy. Satan, Genesis 3, the most subtle, the most crafty of all the creation, all of created things, was able to deceive Eve, right? Deceptive. Deceptions are out there. The Bible is very easy to take a couple verses out of context. Very easy to do this. And very easy to be deceived by it, all right? Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Verse 34, become sober-minded as you ought. Become sober-minded. Meditate on God's word day and night. Sober-minded. Think the important, the righteous things. Okay? Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. It's so blunt. I love it. Stop doing that. Do this. Stop doing that. All right, there's a lot that we could... Oh, you got it up there. Thank you, Melissa. Wonderful. For some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame. Right? The counsel of the wicked is real people. You cannot love these enemies of Christ. You cannot love them into the kingdom unless you are deeply rooted in God's kingdom yourself. And then you can love them into the kingdom. You can teach the gospel to them. You can live the gospel. You can prosper in the gospel right in front of their eyes and be a continuous witness for this world. And he says, I say this to your shame. Some have no knowledge of God. Some are following the path of the wicked blindly. Many are following it blindly. Many in our day. And when we get caught up in the same scoffing and the same back and forth nature of this world, Paul says, I say this to your shame. They're going to actual destruction. They're going to hell. And this world, man, this world is a mess. This world oftentimes seems like it's going to hell too, right? It is. Many. It's a wide road that leads to destruction. Few. There's a narrow way that leads to life, and few find it. So let's find it. Let's know that we're firmly rooted on it, and then we don't have to fear, and we don't have to get worried and get bitter and get angry at all the stuff this world gets bitter and angry about. Instead, in love, in the truth, we can point, guys, this is the way, this is the exit ramp, this is the on-ramp to life. Let's get on this. Let's get off of this. And we can do it with actual love of Christ, with the actual conviction and unction of the Holy Spirit who can teach truth. Sometimes Jesus went brutal with teaching his truth, but he still managed to do it in love. It's not easy. I don't always do that. I just get angry sometimes, right? Just get bitter. I see all this mess out here. Look at all this sinful people. Oh, it makes me mad, right? Jesus managed, because he's studying, he's meditating, he is the Word of God made flesh, all right? He is. We are going to have to study. We're going to have to meditate. We're going to have to dig in deeply. And then we can be great witnesses. And then we can see revival. And then we can see this world, which is just going straight over the edge, just rushing on the gas pedal over the edge. We can see this world hit the brakes and make a U-turn and repent. But it's going to start with us. We're going to have to meditate on God's law. You have to meditate on it, study it day and night, apply it into our lives so that we can be witnesses and prosper at it and be good at it. All right, we're going to keep studying the Psalms. We're just going to go into chapter 2 next week. We're not going to do all 150. Don't worry, it'll be 3 years worth. I mean, maybe we will. We'll see. But I'm searching the Lord and hearing from him. And we're going to be in a series in the Psalms here for a bit at least. There's so much that the Psalms instruct us and teach us in. And Psalm 2, I've quoted it recently in some of my messages, but the nations are raging. They're plotting in vain against God and God's kingdom and God's purposes. And God from heaven laughs. God looks at the wickedness of this world. He does not fear it. He does not get all, what are we going to do, and panic about it. He laughs, and he says, I'm king, I'm Lord, I have all authority. You don't have to fear this stuff. But if we will get deeply rooted and planted in streams of living water of God's word, we can be witnesses, and the world can be transformed. If his people, if God's people will simply humble ourselves, if we'll simply seek the Lord in everything, meditate on him day and night. So my practical challenge for you here, practically speaking, if you have a family, open your Bibles together as a family. Read a little bit. Do family devotions. Pray together as a family. I don't care which devotional book and guide you use, if it's scripture, if it's God's word and not just some silly stuff, just find it and do it. Just open your Bibles and Read the Psalms. Read chapter 1 today as a family. If they're young children, if they're older children, whoever's in your household, as for me and my house, like Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. We're just going to do it. Meditate on it day and night. Get those habits going. If you live alone, if you don't have a family, meditate on God's word by yourself without distraction. It might be easier in certain ways. And communicate. And the counsel of the wicked, recognize the counsel of the wicked. Teach truth into it, but don't join it. Right? We don't want to be compromised by it. Let me pray for us that we would follow the Lord in these ways. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Psalms that sing your praises, that teach your promises, that teach your word, that show us lifestyles that honor you. Lord, we thank you for Psalm 1. We thank you for these promises. We thank you that it is possible to prosper. Not only possible, but it's inevitable to prosper if we will simply do what you say, to cut ourselves loose from the counsel of the wicked, of this wicked world, and instead to tie ourselves, deeply root ourselves in your word. Lord, I pray that you would do that, the Holy Spirit, that you would stir the lives of this church, of your people, stir us and show us the places that we need to stop walking in. We need to stop dabbling in. Lord, show us those places. Convict us to bring us to repentance and turn from it. Lord, convict us. Give us a love. Give us a desire, a hunger for your word, that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we would study, meditate, memorize day and night your scripture so that we would live by it, so that we'd be bright lights, so that we'd be deeply, firmly rooted, planted on streams, your streams, bearing fruit and prospering. Lord, I pray for a church that prospers, for godly people to prosper in every job, in every position, in every neighborhood, to prosper, to be good at things for your kingdom's sake, for your glory's sake, for your name's sake. Lord, we praise your name. We confess our sin. We confess our worries, our fears, our angers over this world. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to you in this world. We'd be faithful to you, that we'd be bright lights, that we would prosper for your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Church, God bless you. I'd love to catch up with you a little bit more and any kind of way that we can pray together or anything else, but you're dismissed, and glory to God.